much do you think it costs to run a one-hour WBAI program four times a month?
I really have no idea.
Well, what do you think?
Four times a month, maybe $2,000?
So, it actually costs $833 a month, $208 per hour. $833 a month. That's why we need your support. Please go to your smartphone and message 41444 and enter WBAI. Again, on your smartphone, if you can text 41444 and enter WBAI, you can become a WBAI listener sponsor, a WBAI buddy. And thank you.
Hey, this is Chaka Khan, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
You're listening to WBAI in New York. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is Health Action. Today, my guest is Paul Slatkis. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So glad to have you today. Paul Slatkis founded Milestone Broadcast Corporation, MBC, in 1985. He has over 40 years in the communications industry. He and his company have successfully carried out numerous production, fundraising, advertising, marketing, public relations, new technology, and management assignments. Paul has a multicultural marketing and multimedia company since their inception, where he helped companies like Sprint, IBM, U.S. Postal Service, and Western Union market to niche markets. MBC has worked with the Asian communities since their inception, and the Chinese helped to put them in business. And they have done numerous major projects with the Chinese prior to MBC. Paul was an executive with CBS and PBS Television for 14 years, working on more than 150 television shows and series. MBC is partnering with Strategy 21 on numerous projects for countries, cities, UN programs, corporations, and nonprofits. And his media credits include Emmys for Love of Life on CBS, The Nature Series, and The Brain Series on PBS, NHK French, and other credits All in the Family, Sonny and Cher, and Carol Burnett. Paul, founder in 1998, a web broadcast at goodnewsbroadcast.com, and goodnewsplanet.com that now has over 5,000 shows that they have produced. Currently, MBC is involved with numerous network TV projects on travel, nonprofits, pets, a major project for 2017 with the Respect for All New York City Board of Education and Schools Worldwide tied into the UN Day of Peace, UN International Day of Peace. Their nonprofit, Good News Corporation 501c3, creates humanitarian projects, including PeaceDayParty.org. Paul is an environmentalist and humanitarian, and with an undergraduate degree at Quinnipiac University, Hamden, Connecticut, and master's was from Fairfield University, Fairfield, Connecticut. Paul also plays the saxophone and piano, and is an ordained interfaith minister. My goodness, Paul, I think we know all about you now.
I got to send you something shorter next time. Oh, my God. Who is that guy?
I usually shorten, but I just wanted to offer people a sense that you are someone who has a foundation in the mainstream industry, but yet you still have a conscience, and that's kind of a rare mix these days.
I love Catherine. Thank you.
So
I maintain it the best I can.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's an important example to set, because people feel like they have to compromise so much in order to make their way in the world. And while you have, you know, some extraordinary talents and have had these opportunities, you've still made a major commitment to the work of healing the world and bringing in important information. And we are going to be talking about the work of We the World and Good News Planet as we go through this program. But tell us a little something more about the work that you do with the radio broadcast, the Good News Planet, and the Good News Broadcast. What is that all about? How have you integrated this work into everything else that you do?
Well, Catherine, first of all, I'm crazy about you, and you know that. And you are a perfect example of utilizing media for its best. And I want to thank you for doing that. You support all our events that we do, along with We the World and Andy Kane's Planet Heart and Rick and actually all the people that are going to be in our September 12th event. But we can get to that, and you're in that as well, our anniversary. So asking about Good News Broadcast, Good News Planet, basically that evolved out of my television early days and back starting in 1972 with CBS. So I decided a long time ago to go into the TV business. I grew up in the shoe business up in Tarrytown, but I couldn't spell, and I wanted the show business. No. So I like the opportunity to utilize my mission, I guess, I've been brought here. My mother gave me the book by Reverend Norman Vincent Peale, The Art of Positive Thinking. And I was always like the guy that liked to be the, you know, president of class or throw parties and stuff. And I'm a believer in humanity and the goodness of humanity. I grew up in a nice small town. It was a mixed, multicultural town. And people were nice. That's sort of like the way it was. And then I learned, I went to Quinnipiac undergraduate. And then I went to and got a master's in communications at Fairfield University. And I learned really about communication, that how powerful it is. And that people actually believe what they see or what they read in the media, you know, and they don't necessarily read 10 newspapers and get a more diverse opinion of a situation. If you go to a museum in Washington, D.C., you'll see 60 covers of newspapers in the United States for the same day, maybe the same story, with maybe a little bit, 60 different perspectives. So in essence, it's good to have an open mind about your media intake and what is being said and who's saying it. One. Two, you should follow your own heart, period. And like the little prince, Saint-Exupéry, you know, follow thy own heart and I'll see rightly. With regard to Good News Broadcast, so I did this, I started after the 14-7 with CBS and 7 or 8 with Channel 13. I started the multicultural marketing and advertising business, and we did well and helped big companies reach the different ethnic communities. But at one point, around 16 years into that, one of my largest clients decided not to continue with multicultural marketing. And if you didn't have a phone company, and they're a great company, Sprint, I'll say, then they were really one of the big companies early on that were spending money towards the ethnic communities and doing good, you know, doing events and helping support all the good things that ethnic communities, multicultural communities do here in America, being the mosaic of the world. So I decided to had our offices on 18th and 5th Avenue, at a nice TV studio, and I leased out a little bit of space to some young people that were accumulating all the TV and all the radio programs on the internet. And they said to me, I said, what? What are you guys doing? And so they were getting all these shows from all around that were on the internet. I said, so what is the internet, right? And they said, well, here's an opportunity to do television, radio, newspaper, sell products. And so I bought a website, Good News Broadcast, for $70, Network Solutions, 20 years ago, as of July 4th, 1998. And we've just stuck with our mission of positive, life-affirming content. It's not religious-based. Some people ask, Good News is that the mindset of religion, Jesus? But it's not. It is, but it's everybody else, too, that believer in religion or spirituality or no religion. It's just positive, life-affirming content, and we've kept it up. We have created about 5,000 shows on there, and not the whole world knows about it. To a certain degree, we didn't actually want to have the whole world to know about it, only because in the early days, if you were successful on the internet, you'd go out of business, unless you had money behind you, because streaming video was expensive. You know, you could spend thousands of dollars. Every stream cost money in the old days. Now they have YouTube and you have other opportunities to share your content. And so it's less expensive or practically nothing to share content, which makes everybody a producer. So the good thing is that we've continued on. We've taken on these other projects, like the Peace Day as well. We made a lot of good shows. We're close to getting an investor. We have half of our investment. And once we get a big investment into our business, I can run this like CBS and Channel 13. And really, you know, get the good kinds like the Captain Davis's great show out to as many people as I can help to also make it go to, and Rick's work and Andrew's. So I'll stop talking now. But that's sort of how we got to where we are. And the future is really exciting.
It sounds very exciting. And really it is important because people are very much saturated with negative information and fearful information. And it has an impact on their health, first of all, but it also has an impact on the state of our world because people become involved in fearful thoughts, suspicions of each other. There's a lot of anger and craziness going on in the world right now. And I am convinced that we definitely need to tell the whole story. I'm not saying that there is not craziness going on, but there's a lot of good going on as well. And I think what you're doing, along with Rick Ulfick and Andrew Kane and Planet Heart and We the World, have been consistently putting out this transformative way of existing in the world, and it really constitutes a network of a lot of people who are working together to bring about positive change, but not just that, but giving people opportunities to connect with each other, to network with each other, and do the real work that needs to be done to make the changes in the world that we all long to see. And it really comes to providing people with something very meaningful in their lives and constructive, rather than allowing that empty space to be filled up with the toxic banter that we see in the mainstream media. Maybe that's what it needs to be, but we definitely need these alternative resources. And I just wanted to let people know a little bit about We the World, and that's a pretty amazing organization itself. Do you are you able to say a little bit about We the World and the 11 Days of Global Unity?
Sure, I'd be honored to speak about that. Rick Ulfick, who's a great humanitarian. And a musician and a broadcaster and such a positive-minded creating an organization called We the World. Actually, I don't know. Well, no, it's 20 years ago.
Exactly.
It is really well. And so we've been buddies for a long time. He's built a wonderful advisory group from the Desmond Tutu to Jane Goodall to Robert Thurman to Deepak Chopra, who's actually sharing a nice message at our upcoming on September 12th Interdependence Day Peace Day party, 20th anniversary for Rick's organization and ours. And Rick is great. Their website is we.net. And for information about this upcoming event on September 12th, it's we.net /20 years. And what Rick, his excitement, along with so many other things, he does great teleconferences with very important people in the world, everybody that's speaking and everybody that's on the line. They're really interesting. And he came up with an idea. We had all been involved with this International Day of Peace, the United Nations declared day, 193 countries at the UN back in 2002. Reinvigorated the International Day of Peace that actually had started in 1984, but kind of sat on the shelf in the UN. Nothing really kind of happened. And then in 2002, it got reinvigorated, and I, with the help of Jeremy Gilley, Peace One Day, and got some inspiration to create a new resolution. And those can be seen actually on peaceDayParty.org, and maybe can even be seen on we.net's website. And it's a good thing. And 193 countries agreeing to a day of peace, a ceasefire, and 12 moon meditation. So I think what Rick envisioned was that he was taking the 9/11 sadness and decided to come up with a concept from 9/11 to 9/21. Is that 11 days?
I guess it is.
It might be. And so he then thought of, you know, trying to heal us here in America and the world, because the World Trade Center is the world. In fact, I have a buddy who I was interviewing that morning. He's from Pakistan. He's a Muslim. And he says, I saved his life because I was interviewing him that day about doing good in the community with Dr. Enid Gortz in Harlem, helping kids learn about financial stuff. So, you know, we're all in this together everywhere. So Rick, I would say, is, you know, a visionary. And he came up with this idea. He accumulates all the kinds of good things happening between that period, 9/11 and 9/21, International Day of Peace. And it's a super. He's really a super guy. And
yeah,
his organization is very powerful, and you should all go and check it out.
Yeah, he has what he calls a change agent network, I guess, so that people can work on each other's inspirations and really work together. And what's really interesting also is this 11 days of global unity, 11 ways to change the world, and each day representing something different. And of course, the event that you alluded to is on the Interdependence Day. And so I find that very interesting, because we've all been working together on these issues over these 20 years. And so that is really a good way to think about it, pulling it all together. And so the way the days are, September 11th is unity, the 12th is interdependence, the 13th is environment, the 14th is economic justice, the 15th is health, the 16th is children and youth, the 17th is women, the 18th is human rights, the 19th is freedom, the 20th is disarmament, and the 21st is peace. So that's a pretty comprehensive look at how to really think about these issues and then how to parcel it into these days in terms of creating events and gatherings and work along the lines of these topics on these days. And there's going to be a lot going on all over the place, all over the world, really, as part of the 11 days of global peace. I guess that's how we would think of it. But tell us something about this 20th anniversary Interdependence Day Peace Party. I understand that it's still coming together. I know that Andrew did ask me to make a presentation as well. But what is the idea behind this particular event?
Okay. So I'm going to, obviously from our poster that has been put together, come celebrate with You, the World, and Good News Planet. Andrew Kane and Planet Heart present the 20th anniversary and the Independence Day Peace Day Party, celebrating 20 years with We, the World, and Good News Planet. It is Wednesday, September 12th, 6:30 to 9:30. Doors open at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a Church of the Village, 201 West 13th Street in New York, a beautiful church, wonderful. Don't miss this unforgettable once-in-a-lifetime event. It's only 20th anniversary one time, right?
Yeah.
Of the 11 days of the Global Unity 2018, the cost is like a sliding scale, like $10, $20 in advance, or $15 or $25 at the door, cash only. And more information, go to we.net, 20 years. This will also be on goodnewsplanet.tv website. It's on the website we just said. Special opening performance. So we have a dynamic New York R&B recording, Al Smith, a good friend, video message from Deepak Chopra. Say something very specifically, 5 minutes or so. Reverend Deborah Moldau, Catherine Davis, the one and only, Monica Willard, Mitchell Rabin, Reverend Susanna Bastarica, who was the first to do the International Day of Peace, the Peace Vigil in Central Park, and all these people, Mitchell Rabin with the Better World, and Monica, and Deborah's with the Peace Fair Society, and Monica's with the United Nations doing good things, Jemima Risk, with their Peace Flights, and Alan Seinfeld has a wonderful show as well. So we have live performances with Kristen Hoffman, Heidi Little, Middle Eastern dancers with Keisha Kai and Pure Belly Queen. Claire Diab is going to do some meditation. Claire is my yoga instructor, and she's been with the Deepak Chopra Centers for over 20 years and has a school in New Jersey, a wonderful person, tribute to Cal Hart, and Rick and I will host it, and we're going to webcast it globally. We don't know the webcast link as of now, URL, but our websites will have that information shortly. And it'll be wonderful. It's a good thing.
Exactly, exactly. And we'll remind people about it further towards the end of our discussion, so that they can grab hold of it. And I'll also have some of that information on the archive page for Heart of Mind Radio at PRN.fm. So people will be able to make those connections and reserve their space, which we hope everyone who's listening will do. But I wanted to go a little bit deeper into some of this discussion, because truthfully, you know, I'm like you. I really do believe in the goodness of humanity. But, you know, we're living in a world in which there's no real reflection of that in our media space. Even on much of the independent channels, it's all very newsy and very much trying to get people to respond to some dynamic within the political domain. But that is an important discussion in the sense that we are in an environment, and it's like breathing in the water of a toxic waste dump. You know, it's really bad for us in terms of being able to maintain our center and being connected to that goodness that we have inside of us. And I'm wondering if you could speak to that, you know, maybe on a more personal level, but also in the context of the work that you do and why it is important for people to get involved in something that's going to nourish them.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, it's when you do volunteerism, you volunteer, but let's really face the reality here. It's a win-win. You help somebody, and the reality is you might as well look in the mirror. You're helping yourself. You're doing something. You're physically going somewhere. You're seeing somebody smile. You're going to feel good about yourself. Self-esteem is the most important thing that there is. In fact, in our movie, you know, Woodstock Forever, Peace, Love, and Harmony, which I hope I'll speak to you later, we have a segment in there with the Harlem Globetrotters. They go into schools, and they have a self-aware program at the schools where people are shooting people. And the whole thing is about building the self-esteem for the young children. You know, when you have good self-esteem and you are doing more than just kind of, you know, worrying only about your own self, which is okay, too, but you know, it's a little more fun, I think, to go out there and do something. And everybody could volunteer, and or not, or just, you know, the world is peaceful. That's where my mind is. And we have a few people that can't resolve their differences nonviolently, but the majority, if not, we wouldn't even have a world. So with 8 billion people, I'm under the premise, and I did this Woodstock Forever with Richie Havens back in 1989, and we're going to show it now in, at this event. So, you know, he said like 90%. Even if he said it left 10% of people that were not were fighters or couldn't communicate, still leaves it at over 7 billion people, if you think on it on a bigger scale. The world is at peace. And there is this concern. And there are these political kinds of things. We try not to be too judgmental. We do our best, and we don't allow anybody to say anything not nice about anybody else. We say whatever's on your mind, but not about anybody else. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm answering your question, Catherine, but I think it's great for people to get out and do good, and I think they end up, you know, being better.
I that sounds wonderful, and it's a, I really would like to amplify this concept a little bit, because I hadn't really thought in terms of the world actually being peaceful, just based on the percentage, the numbers of human beings on the planet, and that most people are simply going about their lives and, you know, raising their families and going to work and are not really engaged in direct conflict. And I would say that this is even true of those people who have conflict imposed upon them. When we look at the violence, that's state violence, I would say, that's going on in the world, largely it's innocent people going about their lives that are the most harmed by this violence. So I kind of like that idea to really think in terms of that, and to sort of switch the conversation to, yeah, we are a peaceful planet if we can connect on that level. I think the problem arises when we look at how much power is in the hands of those few who are creating the unrest. So it does make things, I guess, a little bit complicated in terms of knowing what to do. But I think your framing of it gives us, or certainly gives me, a greater sense of self-empowerment in terms of, okay, if 90% of the world, probably 99% of the world, is actually living in peace or longing to live in peace, that's a very powerful possibility, even, you know, on the level of energy, in terms of positive vibe, on the level of action, in terms of if everyone could be motivated to do something. it would make a tremendous difference if we could shift our focus to that, as opposed to feeling helpless and overwhelmed by the level of violence that is being perpetrated in the world.
Well, I had interviewed somebody, and he was a smart guy. I've interviewed a couple thousand authors, best-selling book, or selling them. It wasn't Harvey McKay, it was another gentleman. You know, he said, "What he said, do you know what your show's about?" I said, "Good news, you know, positive stuff." He said, "You're about hope." And that's why I've named my movie Woodstock Forever, Peace, Love, and Hope, not Harmony, but the hope. I learned also I'm a business guy, and I learned there's this guy, Dale Carnegie, and Dale Carnegie said, you know, you get much more from sugar than you get from salt in a business arrangement. You know, I don't feel faking it. This is reality world. This is reality television. The world is good. The people of the world are good. And if we do make that mindset tweak in the world, you are what you think, right? The art of positive thinking, rather than Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It's, you know, it can be words, but it needs, of course, to be deeds. It needs to be actionable. If you understand media, if you have that knowledge that I gained from getting a master's degree at Fairfield University, and I started to look at what's on, okay, you start to realize that a news program has 30 minutes, however, to show what's important in your local area or in the national area, okay? It is important to know there's a rapist on the corner. It is important to know a building burnt down, and so on and so forth. They have 30 minutes to tell you what is very important. I don't knock the news. I worked at CBS News, okay? And so they have a very important role. The more concerning thing is that we don't understand that role. We don't understand what media is. It's a short segment of somebody's analysis of a situation. It's not the 24 hours of the world, you know. There are these wars or arguments and fights and stuff happening, but they're contained, unfortunately. And it's true that 200,000 citizens in Iraq got killed, and not the warrior bees, the fighter bees. You know, put them all in the old Coliseum and let a couple of people fight it out instead of bothering everybody else. Make their lives crazed. So the result. So I think it is real. Every time I say the world's at peace, you know, people look at me like I'm really not altogether. The majority of the world's at peace. That's why I started to say the majority of the world's at peace. I don't think anybody can say that's not true. So they can say it. I mean, they can say it. I don't think it's so. I don't know warriors. I don't know people in my life. I don't know people. I mean, I had some arguers, some cursors, and people will yell at me, maybe. But I don't have people shooting people in my whole life, and all the people I know. And so does most people not have that around them. So I think you should look around yourself and see whether you think the world around you is peaceful. You know, and yes, there are these places where dominance occurs from political insecurities, is what I call it, survival insecurities. You know, we're going to fight over somewhere, and because they're afraid they're going to come over here and take our homes. So I don't know. And there's enough food, and there's enough water. We just got to get our act together in a big way, in a worldly way.
Yeah, I think that is. You know, I can see what you're saying, and I put it into context, I think, as well, that probably a person who's living like you spoke of, who grew up in a nice neighborhood, a nice multicultural neighborhood, people know each other and therefore are not suspicious of each other. You can grow up in some level of harmony. I had a similar beginning. I actually lived in the South Bronx, or at least in the Bronx, some area of the Bronx, which at the time was mostly peopled by, black people, copper-colored people, or Puerto Ricans, Jewish people. A lot of there was a lot of intermingling in the neighborhoods at that time. They were very community-based. We knew each other's families, each other's parents, each other's cousins. It was a very lovely neighborhood. But then politics got involved in it in some fashion, or in the impact from outside the community by way of drugs. And once drugs came in, crime came in. And once crime came in, sort of policing that was not friendly to the neighborhood came in. And then, you know, it just became a cascade. And I think that there are communities with very real problems with children who are growing up in parentless households because perhaps their parents had become addicted to drugs and then they have children. So there are real escalating problems in communities. I connect those problems to political actions or sort of outside crime. Impacting a community and transforming it. But I feel that equally a consciousness such as you're speaking of can transform those communities as well. Because when I look at my nieces and nephews who are, 3 years old, 7 years old, maybe 9 years old, when they still have that innate capacity for hope and expectations and dreaming and being able to imagine their lives as being something better. I think it's really important to interface with children at that age to be able to give them a different consciousness to what they might be exposed to in their communities and in their neighborhoods so that they can begin to transform. And as well, I think there's a lot of work with young parents who perhaps didn't have good exposure in the way that I did in my time frame to what it means to live in a supportive community, because it didn't exist by the time they were born and started to have children. So I really see that there really is a lot of tangible work. I mean, for me, it's not just holding the idea and the attitude of peace, but to actually, like you said, engage with activities that can have real impact on people. And I think that with your media network, that these are the kinds of stories that you're covering, that you have the capacity to cover and to be able to elevate into people's awareness that there really are opportunities to make real tangible difference in someone's life. And to me, that is a peaceful act when we can do that. So maybe you can tell us a little something about your experience of what people are really doing around the globe to change people's lives.
In our Peace Day broadcast on September 21st, I have about 100 organizations, 1,000 organizations, actually, because every story I do is people trying to make life a lot nicer for other people in almost all the instances. And, you know, every hospital, every nursing home, every smile that was given to anybody else, you know, it's a lot going on. There's a little, Red Crosses of the world, Salvation Armies of the world. There's, churches of the world, temples, mosques, everything else religiously. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of thousands, millions, I'm sure. And anybody that doesn't bother anybody else, they go on the same page. And so, you know, there's so many good things happening. My line is I'm stressed out from so much good news. Because today I could do 1 billion plus stories. If I was large enough and I can pull it all together and I could, organize it as a media guy, I could get say 100 billion people wanted to share what they're doing today. So I know I could get 100 billion good stories because I know in my mind, not even mine, I believe there's over 7 plus billion that could give me those stories. I could have 7 billion stories today. Okay. So that's because, you know, somebody got up, they said goodbye to the kids or went to work and they didn't bother anybody. And so that's good news. It's the little things, you know, and it's all about the little things, said Richard Carlson. And, I know it's just good stuff. I mean, we have it's good. David Lynch, I like to use their group where they do transcendental meditation in schools where kids are, and they also do it for returning veterans. And they teach people how to do some transcendental meditation to calm down in the schools where people are fighting, shooting each other. There's just so many. We have this Respect for All program. I think it's still here in New York. We did a partnership with the PS 138 in Washington Heights. And they created a lesson plan for Peace Day. A beautiful thing, great school. The city alone, New York, we're in a city that is so, humanitarian, socially responsible, philanthropic. It's off the charts where we live in this area. I mean, you know, we have senior citizen buses. It takes somebody to go see a Broadway show with a tickets booth there. You can get a ticket for $10 or $7. Mm-hmm. Our free show in Central Park or in some of the parks. I mean, we here, you know, we're blessed. So say we're not blessed. Say we're in the jungles in Africa. I can't say it's easy in situations. I was blessed and lucky to grow up in it. My dad's from the Bronx, so I'll have you know. And so, hopefully, I'm hoping that through technology, through this thing they call the phone and the web and the internet, that people will see more people being nice to each other. I mean, I'm hoping that every station is good news broadcast. I don't need any. I'm not a guy who needs a monopoly. I want everybody to start off good, then I only show the good, and then have I even own bad news broadcast. I haven't put anything on it yet. But,
No, I understand completely, and I agree with you.
Well, they make.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you, because really it is the exposure that people have to ideas, access to knowledge and information on different things they can do, choices they can make, how they can get themselves involved. And I think everybody can do that. I heard a story. I don't have the details right now, but, you know, they've had all this violence taking place in Chicago, and then I read a story that these two rival gangs came together to build a park for their kids, for the kids in the neighborhood. So I think that, you know, everybody wants to do wholesome things. People want to provide for their loved ones and for their community, and I think that we can build that into something real. And this is why I truly value what you're doing, because exposure means a lot. It means it's significant. If a young kid can get on the internet and find something that's uplifting to them, that is interesting enough to engage a child in that, for even for children to be able to connect with each other in some engaging way. You know, the possibilities are wide open for what we could do with a community, an activist community that's really digging in, doing work. You know, all of these people are unsung heroes. Nobody knows what's going on necessarily, but if we could really look and see what's happening, I think that that does bring a lot of hope, but it also helps to motivate people to figure out what they can do. You know, maybe I need to plant a garden somewhere. Maybe I need to do a cleanup. Maybe I need to volunteer in a school. So everybody can do something if they recognize and begin to recognize that this is the standard of what it means to be a human being contributing to this society.
I, I agree with you. When I was at Channel 13, we did a show on gardens in the South Bronx being built. Marion Williamson once said to me in an interview about a little bit of the difficulty is that negativity or terror or these things, they grab you. You know, they have a cachet about them of, you know, some people might say it's a cachet that I'm not in it. That's good news for me. The cachet of, you know, see, how crazy can it be, you know, with the negative things, you know, and it reinforces some aspect of somebody's negativity on humanity. And so then you put the story next to it of, you know, somebody walking somebody across the street, an older person, helping them. So what story is somebody going to want to watch? Okay. And so I guess we make choices. It's, you know, our lives, if you have your mind open for the miracles of a day and the smiles of the day, and you look around, you know, the major media, you can see lots of good news. The only, my contention or concern I would love to see is solutions that are being done to deal with the fire. Do not, you know, overextend your little outlet. Do not smoke in bed. After every single fire story, after every earthquake story, say, you know, get this earthquake building proof kind of concept if you're able to, or make yourself a Red Cross package and things. You know, it needs to be more than just media's responsibility, actually, in the old days, is to inform. But it's not just, you know, they've gotten cut down on how many people can deal with things and so on and so forth in the media industry, but is to give solutions. Tell us what to, you know, things that can be done, and or tell us here the Red, you know what the Red Cross does? The Red, 90% of the Red Cross is helping people with fires. They get this, you know, have to leave their homes because of fires. And so you just need to, you know, more so, and have some faith. Mm-hmm. You got to have faith, though, to move forward in your life. You have to think that the world is going to be good. And you got the one or two people that weren't as honorable as you would like, just make them the one or two. You know much more than one or two people in your life. So don't make them the one you're going to spend your whole life saying, well, I got messed up because of one or two people. Don't make that the reason why you're never going to trust anybody for the rest of your life.
Yeah, very, very good advice. So before we do run out of time, I want you to tell me a little something more about your movie.
Oh, okay. Thank you for asking. So, and we're going to show part of it at the event, at the Independence Day on September 12th. And I'm going to show it on a big old billboard in Times Square on September 21st at 12 noon.
Wow.
For our Peace Day. And I invite everybody to come down to the International Day of Peace. We'll create a human peace sign, as we have for the last 4 or 5 years. And I suggest you also go September 16th to Susanna's Peace Vigil, which I've been involved since early days. That's another wonderful event. So we got some good stuff happening. So our movie is, and I'm going to show 5 minutes of what I'm going to show on the screen and billboard in Times Square. I, along with Richie Havens, initially back in 1989, created a celebration for the Woodstock happening. And we tried to create it in Central Park. And Stein, who was the head of the park, gave me a yellow light. And TBS gave me a yellow light. But I had to raise $700,000. And somehow, and Woodstock at that time didn't have the peace, love, and harmony mindset. It had the sex, drugs, and rock and roll mindset in most corporate America. So Madonna, for example, said, you know, what's going to happen if we sponsor to get to raise money? And someone says, you know, our packaging is not environmentally friendly, even though they came out with the biggest environmentally friendly thing 2 months after that. So, you know, this is the realities of life. So I had a studio my buddy Marcelino Miera. So we had Times Square Studios. It was his. Marcelino, where Reuters building is, 42nd Street, and right across from the one Times Square building. And so we decided to do something, actually exactly where I do our Peace Day event, to commemorate, to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Woodstock. And there was a lunar eclipse going, and I rented the SpectroVision, one of the first boards, no billboards in Times Square, picture like a ghost town. So I have 2 hours from what we did is we rented a bus and took a group of people from Woodstock area, Bethel, where Woodstock occurred. Next year is the 50th anniversary. This week is the 49th. And Richie Havens was down here. And we brought this group down here, Next Generation. We built an event. We put something on the and we have that too, Jumla from the Jimi Hendrix Band. And it's really timely stuff. And so what we've decided now is, and I termed it, I've never done anything with it. So I've been saving it for all these years. And now I've transferred it, and we're putting it into a movie/TV series. We had the 2 hours from there to select from, which was powerful stuff here, and then at the UN, some singing, a lot of brilliance from Richie Havens. And then I have all our Peace Day. We ask people, what does peace mean to them? I have thousands of people that have talked about that. We have a lot of songs that we want to include. We created a Name That Tune kind of thing because there's just so many great songs for world peace and love and hope. And I've been doing it with my grandkids. So I have Venice and Thurb. I have the Loud Sound. I have all the, you know, there's just so much good out there that can fit into a movie like this.
And what is it called again?
Woodstock Forever, Peace, Love, and Hope.
Love it, love it, love it. And when is it going to play live? Where did you say, in Times Square?
Well, so yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to show some, like 5 minutes of it on just September the 12th at our anniversary party. And then I'm going to show it on September 21st on a billboard right above the McDonald's, a big old billboard, which is where we have our Peace Day gathering with the flags. And then by the end of the year, we'll come out with a movie in the movie theaters or a web television movie. And also like to make it, I have right now 20 hours of stuff, and I have actually 100 hours. I had so much good news that I can fit into this movie. But it is special, and because the world is special. Almost every song is written about peace and love, right?
Exactly.
90% of songs are peace and love. And I like the music and being a musician, so it's going to be exciting.
Exactly. It sounds
You're
wonderful.
You're in it, too, Catherine. You're in it.
Am I?
I have asked you what peace means to you. but if I haven't, I will on the 12th, and you'll be in.
All right.
100% will be in.
So let me remind people again, there is an event taking place. We'll speak about it again Wednesday, September 12th, Church of the Village, 201 West 13th Street, Wednesday, September 12th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. It's the 20th anniversary Interdependence Day Peace Party. You could go to the website we.net or we.net/, what is it?
20 years.
20 years. We.net/20 years. And what is your website?
Goodnewsplanet.tv.
Okay. So there we go. I got carried away. We're running to the end of the program. Then we're going to play a piece of music, finish out with the broadcast debut of the We the World song, which I understand is put together by how many folks? 40 people or something put it together?
I had people from all around the world. I was going to mention that, too. That's great. I'm glad you're doing that. Yeah, Rick put together a wonderful group, and this is a premiere.
Okay,
so you're the first ones hearing it. Great.
Right, so we're going to play that as we finish up. Thank you all for joining us today, and thank you very much, Paul, for joining me today.
Thank you, Kevin. Right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye for now.
We're the people. We're the stuff made of stars. together, force field to weather any storm. Our union makes earth heaven, the bond that we form. Shows we the world, the insects, the plants, the birds. We're the stars in the skies, we create the words to describe what we see, to take us where we want to be. We all want to be free. We the mountains, reach for the sun. Everybody, part of everyone. We the world. Intentional kindness will take away the blindness. Peace and love will eventually find us. Enjoy your harmony, create your shares of unity. We spread positive vibes through our communities. We the world, we the people, envision. One that reaches all within the soul, that's the mission. Within the heart, joyously shared in peace and art. The art of share, the art of care. We say that's a decent start. The art of action in our lives ensures that the dream survives. Channels hope and equity drives. Giving back makes you tingle inside like stomach butterflies, and that'll let us rise to the sky. We the world. Said we the world.
You've been listening to Health Action over WBAI Radio in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Catherine Davis. You could also join me on Saturdays at 1 p.m. for Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. Tune in every Saturday for consciousness, spirituality, and health.
Doesn't sound like my mic is on. Hey, Max, if you can't hear me, come in. Okay, that's existentially just weird, isn't it? But I think you all get the
idea. It's like somebody asking, are you sleeping, and expecting the answer to yes.
Yes, exactly. So
not
I think
anymore.
So I think that the thing to do at this point is to howl. Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program of science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. This morning with me is Sonia Tafe and also Rob Noyes. Just stay tuned.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. I don't usually note this in my reviews, but about 20 minutes before the end of the new anime feature The Night is Short, Walk On Girl, which just screened for a couple of days and hopefully will find its way back to theaters or onto video soon, I had to break for lunch. That's one of the advantages of getting video screeners to review as opposed to going to screenings in a theater. Although I have to concede watching a film in a theater is still the better option. The big problem here is that The Night is Short, Walk On Girl is only 90 minutes long, and I still felt like I needed a breather. It's not because the film is bad, it's not. I did finish it after lunch. But director Masaaki Yuasa, whom we previously met a few months ago with his more family-oriented fantasy, Lou Over the Wall, has so jam-packed his story with frenetic action, impassioned characters, and what feels like an infinite number of climaxes, that it becomes exhausting. When I reviewed Lou Over the Wall, I noted the striking parallels between it and legendary director Hayao Miyazaki's Ponyo. The Miyazaki parallels continue here, and it seems like the director's Oscar-winning Spirited Away is the target. There's an indomitable, joyously confident female protagonist, although here she's a nameless college student with a magical ability to drink anyone under the table. There are strange but largely benign night creatures, except they're now a society of middle-aged pervs who traffic in erotic woodblock prints. There's a magical adversary with a hidden streak of soulfulness, in this case a wizened figure, residing in a triple-decker railroad train who challenges visitors to torturous eating and drinking competitions, and there's less a story here than a string of incidents arranged around a central concept, in this case the female protagonist's first foray into a night of binge drinking. And so she is pursued by a fellow student too shy to confess his feelings to her directly. There's a quest for a childhood book in a nighttime book fair and an ominous black market, both watched over by a mischievous spirit of books. There are rogue restaurants and guerrilla student musical presentations being pursued by a cross-dressing director of student security. The musical presentations are actually an attempt by another student to profess his love for a woman with whom he shared a brief but memorable encounter. Speaking of briefs, the guy hasn't changed his underwear since the incident. I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. I don't usually note this in my reviews, but about 20 minutes before the end of the new anime feature,
I forbid you, maidens all, that wear gold in your hair, to travel down to Carterhaugh, for young Tamlin is there. Then that gold by Carterhaugh, but they leave him a pledge, either their mantles of green, or else their maidenhead. Janet tied her kirtle green a bit above her knee, and she's gone straight double rose but only two, and then up came young Tamlin, says, lady, pull no more. And why you come to Carterhaugh without command from me, I'll come and go, Janet said, and ask no leave or fee. Then of spoke her father dear, and he spoke meek and mild. Well, alas, Janet, he said, I think you go with child. Well, if that be so, Janet said, myself shall bear the blame. There's not a knight in all your halls shall get the baby's name. Oh, tell to me, Tamlin, she said, why came you here to dwell? The Queen of Fairies caught me when from my horse I fell. But tonight it is Halloween, and the fairy caught it right. Those that would let true love win, miles crossed they must hide. First let pass the horses black, and then let pass the brown. Quickly run to the white steed and pull the rider down. Turn me in your arms to a newt or to a snake. Hold me tight and fear not, I'm the father of your babe. And they'll turn me in your arms into a lion bold. Hold me tight and fear not, bridle ring.
Okay. Oh, now I can hear myself in my headphones. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Okay. I'm not going to apologize for playing incredibly lovely music. That was, of course, The Tale of Tamlin, that version being one of the most obscure that I'm aware of. Bill Jones, from her, the only album that I've been able to track down, Ponch Paran. I don't know how to pronounce it. You think that's right? Yeah, shrug. I actually, those watching on Facebook saw the shrug. But it's P-A-N-C-H-P-U-R-A-N, and she is wonderful. She is really good. Sonia compared her to Kate Rusby, and I think that's a very fair approximation. She has that. I don't know how to describe it without using the word girl voice, you know, but it's
breathy, kind of half-lip quality.
Yeah.
It's. I associate it with particular strains in Irish or British Isles folk music.
Yeah.
And if done badly, it becomes very gauzy and very evanescent and very annoying, and you're just like, oh, for God's sake, you know, please sing on the breath. But when done well, it sounds like that.
Yeah, but Kate Rusby does it well, and this woman, Bill Jones, is fabulous. But Kate Rusby has, like, I don't know, a dozen albums out, some of them under the name of John, the fiddler that she often works with. It's very disconcerting.